Hi, everybody. This is Jane Espenson calling you on your special voicemail message line.
This is Ian Bailey, and I portray August W. Booth. I thought this was a good opportunity to express my gratitude to all the fans of Once Upon a Time. Each time I watch the show, I'm reminded of how we all are special and unique beings on this planet. And all we have to do to awaken to the life we want is remember how truly special we are, each and every one of us. Fans of Once know this. That's why I love them.
Or at least...
You are tuned in to Hour One of Once Upon a Time Radio, a live, interactive show where you, your voicemails, and emails are all part of the show. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC drama Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, from a nice little break. Winter break. It's nice to see you all.
Yeah.
Out there in the chat room, chatting away. Hopefully everyone's getting along and having a good night.
Mm-hmm.
And... we have bunches of stuff to talk about, just boatloads of stuff. So
yes, indeed.
What I did is I went back over the show with a fine-tooth comb. I had all kinds of magnifying glasses, and there's a bunch of really cool stuff that we will be discussing tonight. So the first thing, right off the top, is that Once Upon a Time, the date for the Paley Fest event has been announced, March 3rd.
Yay!
Sunday, wonderful, 1 p.m. It's perfect for me. It's that's just so excellent. No traffic on the weekend.
Right.
Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. And I believe Paige and Marissa are coming.
That's what I've heard.
And it's going to be a fun time. So we'll see where we'll be. We are going.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where we'll be sitting, but we will be in the theater somewhere. With noisemakers and no noisemakers.
We don't want to get kicked out.
No. But it's going to be a fantastic time. And I'm working on a special press pass, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, so that is exciting. And the Outsider episode is tomorrow. So
nice.
we are in the throes of the second long leg of Once Upon a Time.
Yep.
So the first thing I want to jump into is there's a bunch of different cool things. And so hopefully it doesn't get too boring, but I came up with little titles for certain sections of things. So,
okay.
Two Swans a-Swimming.
Okay.
It was how many swans did you see in the beginning there when Hook brought his boat into the docks there?
I only saw one.
There were two initially.
Okay.
So I have a...
I must have missed one then.
I have a little picture of them. And let's see how this works. So I'm going to go here and there. Okay. So there's
cool.
That.
There's a link. All righty.
Okay. So, and what I was thinking of is when they pulled up and you see the swans... in the bay near the dock, that it's almost like a banner of some kind of a kingdom. It's kind of a metaphor or a representation of whose area this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to me that it was like a little kind of a quiet message that this is Swan's territory. So you need to kind of be aware.
Swan Queen, maybe?
Well, possibly. I mean, they're all there in the same...
That is a fairy tale. And Emma, being the sheriff of the town, would be kind of the queen of the town.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Others feel otherwise, but okay. So now here's the thing. So you pull up and there's swans in the bay. So I checked with a good friend of the program. We met her. It's fantastic.
Yep.
It's a fantastic gal, another fan up in the Steveston area, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so tell me about these swans. Do they swim around? Were they brought in by the crew? And she said, no, they have swans in the Vancouver area along the bay there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow,
which is fantastic because I didn't know that they were, you know, pretty, I guess, locals to the area.
Yeah.
I've never seen a swan in the wild. I've always seen them in captivity, like at Disneyland, which they don't even have them in Disneyland anymore. But, that's where I've seen them. I've never seen any in the real world. So, anyway.
Yes. But, they are there. They do swim along the edge there in the Vancouver area. Mm-hmm. And,
they're beautiful creatures,
though. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it was almost kind of, almost very fairy tale like to see a swan swimming along yet in the nighttime. I don't know. I just it kind of stuck out to me. So that's why I was thinking that the flip side of that is when people arrived in Storybrooke and they saw the clock tower that never moved. That was kind of a symbol that this is the evil queen's town. Mm-hmm. She stopped the clock, frozen in time. Nobody could leave. That she was in town. So.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
okay.
I'll go there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post these photos along with the little sections that we go through. I don't have pictures for everything.
Right.
But the next is no one to meet us. And so when Hook pulls up into the dock with Cora with his large boat at night.
Ship?
It was a ship.
It would be a ship.
Okay.
According to Captain Jack.
You helped me with the whole pirate thing because you know that.
Well, don't you remember Captain Jack actually said that. He said something about, oh, yeah, the boat, and he goes, ship, it's a ship.
Right. So they arrive at night, smart move.
Yeah.
Not to attract any attention, but they kind of appear in the daytime in the previous episode, well, Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, so. They were fairly far off.
Yes.
So that was, anyway.
But they did pull in the cover of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And then this poor gentleman came out to meet them. Yeah. We don't know who this guy was. He's a tackle shop owner.
Maybe. Yeah. He was.
So I think Cora really showed a lot of restraint. She could have killed the guy. She could have done a lot of different things, she did was turn the guy into a fish.
Well, maybe it's the Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Well, possibly. Now you're out crazying theory me, so okay.
I'm joking because that's a Disney reference that hopefully some folks will get, but anyway.
All right, so then she turned him into a fish, and then I really thought Hook had a lot of great points with PETA and all the different animal groups, and he kicked the fish into the water.
It was a gesture of kindness, which was kind of funny because pirates usually are not very kind.
But Hook has a code, and he always talks about his code, and I guess his code includes being nice to fish.
Yeah.
So he kicked the fish in there. And so what I was thinking is, what if the fish came upon a little mermaid and told a story of Hook and Cora arriving in Storybrooke.
That's an interesting.
And then the Little Mermaid appears in the story and knows. Because at this point right now, nobody knows.
Right. So. He's the only one who knows, except for, well, actually Archie. But he is the one who actually knows. And so, yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. And if that's the case, I have a question. So, the ship. Cora hid the ship.
Right.
But what about underwater? Could you see it if you like fell in and looked up?
I don't know. That is a good question.
I mean, is it invisible all the way around? Because wouldn't a fish like bump into it if it like didn't see it? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. All I know is the guy that met them was very unlucky.
He was very unlucky.
And so he turned into a fish and now he's swimming instead of. No one's going to open this poor tackle shop. They're going to be waiting outside.
See, that in and of itself will hopefully get somebody to start looking around. And when they realize that he's gone, because somebody's going to indicate that he's gone. And when they realize he's gone, and they're going to figure out that the time that happened would have been, you know, it unfortunately, I don't know what's going to happen with that.
So
is that going to help or hurt Regina's case?
I think it's going to help because I think not quickly, unfortunately, but I think this is going to start to unspool and then they're going to start to kind of figure out, wait a minute, So we'll talk a little more about how that whole thing didn't get completely explained.
Right. Okay.
So, so this poor tackle shop guy went out to meet Hook and Cora.
Mm-hmm.
What other person has met another stranger who has arrived in Storybrooke? Does anyone in the chat room remember?
Let's see. Emma and August.
Emma was there, but there was another instance where somebody actually came out to kind of talk to this other person that arrived in Storybrooke. But
are you talking about Archie and Emma?
Yeah.
Archie coming out to meet Emma.
When Emma initially showed up into Storybrooke.
With Henry.
A lot of really magical things happened, actually, when she pulled through into the middle of that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
But the one main thing was that Archie came out with Pongo.
Yep.
And it's kind of an interesting idea that there is kind of a sentry or a guard, if you will, to kind of, hey, what are you doing here? It's so.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
and Jiminy is the conscience and the help, and he was probably a little worried about Henry, especially when he realized that he was this strange woman. And then, of course, Pongo's just awesome because he's Pongo.
Well, and my Jeff's random question number one is, I wonder who Pongo is in Fairy Tale Land, and I wonder if he's a person or if it is, in fact, just a dog.
Well, see, that's the thing. So Archie was a real person in Fairy Tale World until he got changed into a cricket, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when the curse happened, he came over here and he became his human self, his original self. So what if Pongo was a dog and then became a man in Fairy Tale World, and then his original self is a dog, so he's back to a dog now?
Right. Yeah, could be.
I'm just saying, because August, his original self is Wood, and he ended up going back to his original self, right?
Yeah, August really throws the whole thing kind of off.
Because his original form is Wood.
Yeah.
So that's why Jiminy's not a cricket here in real world, because that would be just silly, for one thing. But secondly, I think it's because their original form is what they are in the real world. But anyway.
All right. So the chat room is getting wild, as usual, so welcome to Saturday night. Evil Regals, wake up. I need your help with this. I have a legitimate question. So what's up with the Evil Queen's troops? I have some questions. So who are these troop people? Are they zombie-ish people? Who are these people? The guard who spoke to the Evil Queen didn't flinch at all at her statement of, I don't care how many men you lose. I mean, then the second thing is, why aren't there any female warriors? I mean, even in the Ogre Wars, they said, you know, we're going to take your sons and your daughters. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
know. Just wondering.
I don't know. I would say, let's see. I would think that the possibility exists that either she's charmed these folks into helping her out.
Right.
They were angry at the king for maybe he didn't do something they thought he should do.
Right.
Or she took their hearts and stuck them in boxes and controls them.
Right. That's kind of what is going on here. And then also, I was pointing out that only Regina is a warrior queen. So that's really all you need.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. My question has been answered.
Sorry, I'm kind of half-heartedly not paying 100% attention to the chat room. Only because I'm knitting a very special blanket right now.
Ah, very good.
So I need to keep moving on
that. Special blankets are good. All right, so I'm going to read an email, and we will start here. Okay, hey, Jeff and Colleen, Happy New Year. I hope your holidays were wonderful. They were, thank you. Regarding this week's Once Upon a Time, I came so close to actually emailing within the first 5 minutes of this show. As you know, I usually watch the show on Monday, so I wait to hear your feedback till Tuesday. So I'll admit I still have not listened to that yet. And you may have already discussed this. Within the first 5 minutes, I was so disappointed in the turn this show took. I know that many families enjoy watching the show, having watched Lost and knowing where they went with some of the characters. I personally asked Horowitz and Kitsis if this would continue to be a family show. I think she meant I would ask. Mm-hmm. The first part of the show was very uncomfortable for my daughter and I to watch together. As soon as it started, she very quietly said, "Awkward." And it was. Luckily, my daughter is a little older. But what about those families with younger children? I know there was no nudity, and Henry is able to ask questions so things can be explained away. However, I was just disappointed that the writer felt they had to go that route. There would have been many other ways they could have approached that fact. It had been for a while Snow and Charming. I think my biggest disappointment is the fact that I actually talked to them, and they as much as said this would not happen. Had I ever spoke to the writers then, I would just blame myself for not pre-watching it, as I used to do. It would have been easy enough to pre-watch and then watch with her with a bit of fast-forwarding first. Sorry for my rant. I just really do enjoy the show, and I want to enjoy watching it with my daughter without feeling awkward. On the show itself, I was happy to see Archie is not really dead. And can you believe even watching the flashback of Regina and being reminded of how evil she was, you feel your heart pull out for her as she watches Emma and Henry. Thanks for listening to my rant. Looking forward to having something to listen to again in the car. Welcome back, Tiffany. So... let me take a drink first. Hold on. A little water. Don't get any ideas here.
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing.
Now, we don't have children.
No, we don't.
Of any age. So I just want to start there.
Okay. We have a fur baby.
Right.
And she doesn't know the difference between any of it. So
she likes Once Upon a Time, but she likes anything on the blue box when it's on. So
anyway. Yes. Yes.
Anyway.
So, okay. So I understand her concern, because that is something that, 30, 40 years ago, you wouldn't have seen so much of that. And especially not in a show that was geared towards families, that definitely wouldn't have been shown.
Yep.
On the other hand, though, I will say this is that ABC did keep it somewhat family friendly. I know people are going, wait, what?
And that's what she said. There was no nudity or anything like that.
There was no nudity, but... no nudity at all. The other thing is that I appreciate the fact that they are a married couple.
Right.
They weren't in the process of doing anything.
Right.
They weren't, simulating anything. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any vocalizations, shall we say,
right,
to make things even more uncomfortable than they were.
Right.
So I'm at least happy that they did that. And not to mention the fact that actually with this being a family friendly show and them showing a married couple in a intimate moment that wasn't completely all the way there.
Right.
It was actually kind of nice to see that compared to what you normally see, which is people who aren't married and people who are cheating on their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, in this show, they've had worse things that they've done. So, you look at just let's even take Mary Margaret. Mary Margaret had a thing with Dr. Whale, and they didn't show it, but they talked about it. So
yep.
I'm just saying, I totally get why that would be a little uncomfortable to have that shown with a child. On the flip side, I'm at least glad they tastefully did it and didn't grab for better ratings.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And she even mentioned in the email that I think she had a pretty good plan for her and kind of the way she wants to raise her family.
Mm-hmm.
To pre-watch. Just take a watch through it, take a look, see if there's anything that she might feel is maybe uncomfortable, and then kind of know when to fast forward.
Right,
that might be the best way. But I actually agree with you, is that I can I can count on maybe half a hand of married couples actually just kind of cuddling in bed. I mean, maybe everybody loves Raymond, but usually it's people that aren't married.
Right.
So anyway, I think it's kind of a different. So all these people are married.
And let's be honest. So, like I said, there have been other things that have been said and done on the show.
Right.
That
right.
are completely, you know, would be very inappropriate for children. So I'm just saying. I was going to say, believe me, I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I too was, ironically, when it looked like Archie was dead, I'm like sitting there going, no. See, we would have heard something about that if he was not going to be on the show anymore. I think we would have heard that. We would have gotten a sense for that. And I don't think so. And so I was like, I don't know what's going on with that. So I was really, really, really excited to see Archie alive in the bottom of the ship.
Yes.
And then I too was totally heartbroken for Regina, because she really is trying so hard to be good and to, you know, be worthy of Henry and be, have that place in his life. And then for this whole thing of, just making everything look like she did. And the worst part is it's her own mother.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
You made a number of fans in the chat room, probably. So that was.
Look, I never hated Regina. I have an overdeveloped sense of empathy where I actually feel what people feel, and I actually felt my heart breaking for her watching Emma tell Henry, mostly because I could imagine that part of her heartbreak was watching him get emotional and upset. And then that whole being upset, knowing that he's going to think it's her, when unfortunately that's what it looks like. So,
okay. I'm not a hater, but I'm going to say this. A lot of this situation in some ways reminds me of the whole Mary Margaret being framed for Catherine's.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So a bit of it is, this is what it feels like. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, she did not do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, she's doing everything right.
Right.
And, we talked about it in the first thoughts, is just everybody's jumping on her past instead of really kind of saying, look, you're trying to change.
It is an easy thing, and I think it's human nature for us to naturally go, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. But the problem is that, you know, it is possible for people to change, because she had a good, heart before Cora got her hands.
But
you know what though?
I take a bit of task with that, is that David actually has seen a lot of great things from Regina.
Mm-hmm.
She cooks a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
She tries to get him to stay with a blank note. But also, after their kind of clash, he did understand and see her take care of Henry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there were some points where he really did see the other side of Regina. Okay.
Oh, sure.
So I was kind of surprised that the writers kind of went back to this whole, she always wanted to kill us in our fairy tale land and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, but anyway, David, just
think about it. Think about this. Think about this very carefully. Put yourself in their shoes. They were separated for 28 years from each other and their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get a chance to raise her. They didn't get a chance to pass on their, heritage or their traditions or whatever. And so for them, it would be so difficult to just, see Regina act nice and assume that, she's totally changed. She's totally, it's going to take some time for them to get to the point where they feel like they acknowledge it, but they feel it as well. Cause they're acknowledging that she's trying to change, or at least, David started to, and then this happens. And of course now he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Did I make a mistake? But anyway, I think it's going to take some time, but I think eventually it will happen where they'll realize that it wasn't her.
Yeah. All right. Can I tell you how much I love Meg Macario's smile? I just need to say that. Yeah. It is so funny to watch him in a party scene. He has a smile that lights up a room, especially with a beer mug in his hand or a cup of punch or reuniting with Snow White in a street. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. So, all right. So I guess there's only one sign maker in town because the Welcome Back Mary Margaret looked very much, but not exactly like the Welcome Back Mary Margaret that was in The Return. So it was very, very, very similar. So anyway, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I didn't get that here. And where was Geppetto? Where was Mother Superior and that Emma's party?
The party was Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and...
Okay. All right.
You know.
All right.
Ruby and Granny. They're friends.
Geppetto should have brought August with him.
Well, where was Geppetto? I didn't see Geppetto.
No, he was not.
See,
that's my point.
But again... And that's the thing. Where is Geppetto? Where has he been?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very likely still searching for August, which yeah. brings me to the point of where's August, man?
See. That's
where's August? Where's questions. Catherine?
All right. They need to buy new pants for Henry because Henry is growing up so fast. My gosh.
Well, yeah.
I looked at him and he was like, he's growing on screen.
Well, and he's very likely 11 at this point in time, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Name that tune. So there's this Muzak playing in the background of Granny's. Let me play part of David Prince Charming's speech, and you will hear this Muzak. And I don't know what it is, but it's there.
I just wanted to thank you all for joining us tonight. Mary Margaret and I, we have a saying that we will always find each other. And while I believe that with all my heart, I'd like you all to raise your glasses and join me when I say, here's to not having to look for a while. Mary Margaret and Emma.
Oh, there's just a little bit. Anyway, so watch the show again and listen for the Muzak.
It almost sounded like some of the actual score from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, only set to Muzak.
It sounded like an old 70s store, and you're wandering around. It was just kind of weird. Stood
anyway,
out there.
Yeah.
So I did love Regina's snappy comeback to Grumpy. I thought that was just classic. That was just classic, you know.
Yeah, you want to talk about an awkward moment. It was very awkward, but I love the fact that they were actually, that Emma especially was, you know, very welcoming and kind of calmed everybody down. And it was just, it was very awesome.
Did you notice a connection to that party and another episode? A line that was said. Anybody in the chat room, did they notice a line that was said in the party, right? Okay. Paige, there you go. Yep. Okay, so let's play both here. Hold on. So this is from the cricket game.
Sorry, I'm late.
Okay, so that was that. And then here's the other one from the pilot.
Sorry, I'm late.
a little different sounding, but the same words nonetheless. So,
yeah, but
excellent
definite,
work.
Definite difference in tone. Mm-hmm. Definite difference in intent.
All right. So she's tripping. Snow White. If you watch the trip when she trips on the stone, I couldn't tell if she actually tripped on it or somehow she was kind of pushed, because it sounds like there's some kind of magic going on.
Oh, could have been me. You're talking about in the forest part.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It almost seemed intentional because, again, the whole thing was a way to trap Regina, right?
Right.
So I'm wondering if she purposely did that.
Mm-hmm.
just because I think that was.
So I told you people were going to be geeking out tonight. This is Jeff geeking out.
That's us.
Anyhow, Evil Queen talking Rumpelstiltskin. Now, what I thought was funny is when she was talking to Snow White, she goes, leaving the battle so soon. And I was thinking, that sounds like Rumpel's wife talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Basically saying, you know, you can't even stick around for the, or Hordor, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of, it was slight dig there.
Yeah.
So the blue dust that the Blue Fairy used to entrap Regina, the Evil Queen, I wonder if there was any squid ink in that fairy dust.
I can't imagine there would be.
It's the same type of thing. The look of it looked very similar to when Rumpelstiltskin signed the revised document in The Price of Gold. And it froze him. And initially we were told that it was just the quill that was made from this magic.
Right, it was the ink.
But actually it's the ink.
Yeah, but so normally don't the fairies, when they're just doing something like that, they don't throw the... Maybe it did. Maybe it did because of the fact that it entrapped her. Because fairy dust in and of itself, I don't know if that would have, you know, had the power. Right?
Well, we know that Korra can create this barrier spell, and we kind of heard about that.
But yeah, we did.
Anyway, so now that we heard about squid ink, I figured maybe they were always... Anyway. So, Henry looked like he was drinking beer. Wait a minute. Root beer at the party. But they all had these beer mugs.
Yeah.
So She Who Lives in a Glass House learned a lot. And it was interesting in the exchange that Emma and Regina had outside of Granny's when she was leaving I think Emma learned a lot after she got out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
About people giving her a chance. And I think that's really why she's so, at this point right now, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have Regina, who took care of Henry for many years. And now she's in this position where she's trying to change. She's working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma's giving her a shot. And I really applaud Emma for that because she doesn't have to.
No, she doesn't. I think there's a part of her that is scared.
Right.
She has this very... you can see that she's filled with trepidation dealing with Regina because Regina is pretty stinking powerful and she knows that. But she is also, you know, a little hesitant because how much can she really trust Regina? So, but I do love the fact that even with her nervousness, she is still making attempts to, you know, kind of help smooth the way a little bit for Regina, because even though she has, you know, Henry right now, technically, I guess legally he does belong to Regina, but
yeah, sure.
You know, we'll see what that brings, what happens. I don't know.
Well, it's nicer trying to work things out. So anyway,
yeah, I do like that.
The soundtrack of your life. So, you know, normally when we hear the Queen's theme, it's this huge booming, you know, version of it. And when you hear it now as Regina leaves the exchange, and I'll play the end of it, and then as she leaves, you'll hear it's very quiet, subdued Queen's theme. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. So here it is.
Thanks for coming. No, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Snapping at you, I shouldn't have done that. Will you accept my apology?
Okay. You're right. Archie said you're trying to change, and, well, you are.
Dr. Hopper said I was trying.
He said you came to see him. That you're trying not to use magic. That you're trying to be a better person. You understand I was hesitant to invite you. I asked him and he thought it was a good idea.
Thank you, it was. I should be going.
very quiet.
It's almost as if they've given her a new theme.
Yeah.
With traces of the old and a little, you know, something new that's, like you said, more subdued. And it is definitely, it's got similar, you know, qualities to her original, you know, theme. And they still do play that when they're showing flashbacks of the
Queen. Sure.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you know this, but here we're going to geek out a little more. But in Star Wars, the original Star Wars, Princess Leia had a theme. And then they used some of the similar tonal qualities and what have you in the first in episodes 1, 2, and 3 for Padme so that it tied together so that, you know, Padme and Leia's themes were similar.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, so, but that whole, yeah, that whole scene was, wow. It was a great scene. I mean, there were just so many parts to it that were so fantastic.
All right, so that brings me to, I'm going to play a couple of voicemails here. So here is the first one.
Hey guys, this is Dave from Michigan calling in now that the show is finally back from its little hiatus. I loved tonight's episode. Knowing some of the spoilers going in, it was kind of predictable for me, but it was still great and they played it wonderfully. I'm really looking forward to see how the evil Regals handle the fact that Charming wanted to kill her dead. I'm guessing that he's going to go from annoying to hated. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I got a kick out of the reference to the Princess Bride when Rumpelstiltskin shows up and tells her about the wedding and says about true love. The way that I can't remember what the guy's name is that says it in the Princess Bride, but maybe correct.
Can you help him?
Yes, it was the impressive clergyman. That's what he was billed as.
Okay.
The actor, I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head, Peter Cook. And he was billed as the impressive clergyman.
Famous for the comedy group from England, The Goons, I believe.
Mm-hmm. True of.
Well, we're geeking out tonight.
Knowledge.
Anyway.
Okay. Right, so as we keep going. Sorry.
Looking forward to seeing how it plays out. Change my mind, or that it surprised me at one point when they said, I've already secured someone that's in the hold of your ship. I thought it was going to be Bell, and I knew it wasn't Bell when they
I agree. I thought it was going to be Bell as well. That would have been the power play for sure.
It would have been. I was a tiny bit worried it could have been Henry, but that would have been a little too quick and easy, and that would have raised too many suspicions. So I knew it couldn't have been Henry, but I didn't know who it was going to be. And then I thought it could be, you know, August or any number of people.
Right.
It could have been anybody.
So quickly, I want to throw in my theory here is that because we did see the Dreamcatcher being used on Pongo, this is my prediction, I'm not betting anything because I don't have anything to bet, is that I don't think Archie's going to talk.
No.
I don't think he's going to talk.
Not willingly.
And I think that Cora is aware of the whole Dreamcatcher memory thing, and I think she's going to pull all the memories out of him, and they'll just sit there and watch it. Like Leeloo in The Fifth Element, and just kind of watch the whole thing, know the whole story, and then we'll get another twist. But yeah, that's kind of what I think is going to happen with that. Anyway, we'll continue.
And Hook goes, who is that? So it was interesting. Can't wait for next week. I can't wait to listen to the show tomorrow and I'm hoping you guys are having a live show this week. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
Steve, we are indeed. And by the way, as far as like the whole thing of Charming wanting to kill Regina, it kind of didn't really surprise me. It didn't make me think less of him. And the only reason I say that is because, yeah, that's a terrible thing. But knowing that she tried to kill them and was going to continue to try to kill them, he was doing it to protect his wife.
But who pointed him in that direction? That was a surprise to me. Who pointed him in that direction?
Wow, I'm totally drawing a blank right now. Was it Ruby?
No.
No.
Jiminy Cricket.
Oh, right. Oh.
He said, gosh, she will never change. And of course it ties in with, see?
Yeah.
The danger and the reason why and all that. So, right?
And see, if that's the case, okay, so then let's go there. If that's the case, then when they were questioning her in the room, interrogating her, and then they came out and he's like, I don't think she's ever going to change. It was, dude, wait a second. Archie told you that when he was Jiminy Cricket. That's what made you want to kill her in the first place. And then Snow convinced you that she could, and now all of a sudden Archie dies, so now you're going back to that? Even though Snow told you it was possible, although she did prove it wrong, that, you know, she wasn't going to change. But, I mean, I think with the fact that Emma is telling them that she really sees that it's, you know, that she's trying to change, I thought that was, you should probably listen to your daughter.
Well, I think Emma and Regina are doing all the right things. I think the only kind of, look, Regina's struggling to be nice.
Right.
You know, when you've been angry and whatever for a long period of time, and then you have to conquer something like that, it's tough.
Well, and that's the thing.
You know, but, you know, David and Mary Margaret and their whole, you know, mistrust and kind of going against Emma is kind of interesting.
Well, it is, but then, okay, so then let's talk about that a little bit, because ultimately, let's face facts. They're dealing with the fact that they know her past, but they, and they're not really kind of watching the whole present as much. I mean, they kind of are. They're more focused on Emma. Plus, I mean, real world stuff and fairy tale world stuff mixed together in the same person does make it a little harder to kind of, you know, old habits die hard. Let's face facts. Old habits die hard. Mm-hmm. They can die, but they die very hard.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Holly. It's Dave from Michigan again. Now that I've listened to some reaction podcasts, I have a couple more things. One, everybody I've heard on three different podcasts now, this reminds everybody of Catherine. Made me start thinking about Catherine, and I started to wonder, was that art really hers that they found? Is it possible that somebody had taken her art before the curse? Or did somebody use magic somehow with, like, the help of a magical item or something to take her heart to make the frame job work?
We'll do a heart 101. This is going to be the most informative, geeked out, once upon a time podcast episode that you've ever been a part of. So just buckle up. But we will talk about the hearts and stuff in a bit. Okay. So never fear.
Okay.
Just a random thought that popped in my head. Now, I love Adam and Eddie, and I don't know who wrote the episode, but the one that I saw this episode, I was a little put off by the writing, because I don't know, it was just me, but I feel like the idea of the show has always been that we're supposed to be kind of like Emma. And so...
To let you know, Cricket Game was written by David H. Goodman and Robert Hull. So,
and I believe David Goodman co-wrote one of my favorite episodes with Jane Espenson. I have to look that up, but I believe he wrote Desperate Souls... Or Skin Deep?
Skin Deep was just Jane. Desperate Souls was just Jane. So,
okay.
Anyway.
Well, he did co-write one of the other episodes that was a really good episode. And I can't remember which one it was, but it was like, oh my gosh, that was so great. And he was one of the co-writers. I know he was.
Apple Red is Blood. Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. Back to Dave. Here you go.
We got to see everything that happened to Archie in the beginning. Everybody else was sympathetic, I guess you could say, to Regina for the whole episode, because we knew she didn't do anything. I feel like it may have been better, more like season one reveal, if we had been in the same line of everything as Emma.
where we found Archie and went, oh, my God, he's dead. And then, you know, when she might have been a frame job, we would have probably thought the same thing, or at least some of the viewers would have, and some of the viewers would have been like Charming and Snow, and they would have thought that she did it. And then, you know, we followed the plot line along to the point where everybody finally believed that she did it. And then at the end of the episode, we have the scene where we show, where they show Cora holding on to Jiminy, or Hopper, or whatever you want to call him. And then we get a flashback to the beginning of the episode where we show her doing all of it. So that we're all, it's all revealed at the end that those of us who thought we were right were right, and those who thought that Regina did it realized that, oh my God, we were wrong. You get that sense of feeling that Snow and Charming and Emma are all going to feel in a few episodes when it all comes out. So I don't know, maybe it was just me, but that was where my thought process was with the writing of this show. I wish it would have been done a little differently so that it would have been more jarring emotionally for everybody watching. And now it's time for Darky Thoughts with Dave from Michigan.
Okay, he calls back because he was cut off here.
Okay.
But let's talk about the two ways. You want to start?
Yeah, I think we both have thoughts on this, is that I think and we were talking about this earlier, is that this reminds me of Hitchcock movies, right? You want to bring up Hitchcock? Let's talk Hitchcock. I was too afraid of Hitchcock movies growing up because all I ever heard was Psycho, Scary Psycho. But when I started watching some of his movies, there are different ones that you don't know what's going on until the very end. And then you're like, whoa, Vertigo is one of those where it's like, holy crap, that I did not see that coming. It's fantastic. It's a great movie. And you do feel like you are in Jimmy Stewart's shoes in Vertigo. Whereas with like Rope, which is a fantastic movie, or with, what was the other one? Oh, we were talking about it. The other one oh my gosh, I'm losing it. Rope or crikey. Psycho
right,
itself.
Right.
You see exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know what's happening. And you sit there in total suspense going, okay, come on. No, don't go in there. Or, oh, you need to look here. Oh, and you want to help them solve the mystery. And you know that it's, you know what the truth of it is. You just don't know when they're going to figure it out.
Yep.
So anyway, I totally blew that. But anyway, go ahead.
So I will save my thoughts on this for the after party, hour two.
Well, alrighty then.
If you're listening live, just hang in there. We'll be coming back. But if you've downloaded this and listened later, we're going to end hour one right now. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, supporting it however you do, spreading the word. I want to send big love out to you. Big love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And big love out to you. We appreciate you, and we do this for you, and we're fans as well. So thank you so much, and we'll be talking at you soon.
And you can be part of the show in a number of ways. Leave us a voicemail at area code 657-333-0626. Our website's main address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. You can even send us an email to feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.